It's like the little boy standing on the rock fishing. He fell in. The old man standing by said, "Son, you okay? You got all wet. How you doing? Catch any fish? Why'd you fall in?" He said, "I didn't come to fall in, mister. I came here to fish. But I fell in while I was here." And when we let the devil put opportunities and we let the devil put things in front of us and we're watching through the window, well, I'm not doing it, but I just want to see what they're doing. I just want to see what they're all about. I just want to see hey, when I was in high school, I'm telling you, I was playing the drums. I just want to hear, I don't like that music, but I just want to hear that little lick right there. I want to see if I can do that. Before you know it, guess what I was listening to? That music. Because it engulfs you. The devil never shows you the last picture or the last page from an addiction or from a dirty magazine or from a habit. He doesn't show you death and destruction. He shows you the bright lights and the things of joy and pleasure. Hebrews 2 and verse 3. "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" You've got to hear him. There is a great salvation available to you, but you've got to hear the word of God and the things of God. You have to nurture and to protect and to cultivate your salvation. Lose your house, but do not lose your soul. Lose your car, but do not lose your salvation. Lose your life, but don't lose life eternal. I may lose some good friends, but I don't want to lose my salvation or my soul. I want to make it. I may lose my position on some team or platform or position somewhere, but I don't want to lose my soul. I don't want to lose my relationship. I don't want to lose the things of God in my life. I might lose everything else in the world, but if I lose God, then I've truly lost everything. But if I lose everything else in the world and I have God, then I've accomplished and I've made it. Acts 2 and 40, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." It's a life that you have to sustain. It's a relationship that you have to maintain. Nobody can maintain your relationship with God except for you. There's going to be distractions. There's going to be things that come by the windows of life and the events and the circumstances that are going on around us. Things are going to happen. But you're responsible for your relationship with God. You're accountable for your position in Christ. We're accountable individually. When you stand before God in judgment, and you will, it's not going to be you and your mom and your dad, Brother Baggett, and Brother Valentine. Brother Baggett, you handle this. Would you answer God on this one? No. He's asking you. You're accountable. You're responsible. It's a life we have to sustain. We have to work at. Just as a baby is dependent on its mother to get milk and food and protection and clothing. When it's cold outside, a baby doesn't know to put on a coat. The mama puts a coat on the baby. When it's time to eat, the baby knows I'm hungry, but it can't go in there and cook a ribeye steak or formula or milk. It's dependent on the mama. So is the life of Christ in you dependent upon your faithfulness, your commitment, your obedience. The window seat. Eutychus means fortunate. Just talking this morning. Eutychus, that name means fortunate, well, good. Just like Eutychus, we have been called fortunate, favored of the Lord. But if we don't maintain our salvation, if we don't maintain our relationship with God, if we don't protect the special things of God, I wish that we could work on, all of us, the reverence for the house of God and the things of God. And truly, when we come into church, begin to focus our mind on God and the things of God. And lay down the spirit of heaviness. Lay down all the problems, all the stuff, and begin to pick up the garments of praise and enter His gates with true thanksgiving. Lord, I'm thankful that I'm here this morning. I'm thankful that I'm this side of 6 foot. I could be 6 foot under this morning. But the God of glory saw fit for one more Sunday for me to be able to be here, and I'm thankful. So let's take advantage of that. Let's work on it. Let's enter His gates with prayer. That's why I love prayer in the morning before church. It's refreshing. It gets you in the atmosphere and in the mood, and it gets you prepared for when we come in here and begin to break bread. And that way you don't have to have an Apostle Paul preach till midnight or the morning. I can go to about 10:15, 10:20, and we can take a break and come back for worship service. The window seat. You can fall. You can mess up. You can get distracted. But there's a God of glory that can pick you up. But you've got to be willing to let Him pick you up and touch you. This young man, he fell from 3 stories up. This tells me that even the most spiritual have to be watchful and diligent of where they're sitting, lest they fall. Why did Eutychus fall to his death? Why? He lost his passion for the things of God, and he was more out than he was in. He was leaning and sitting on the edge. He was more out of the window than he was in the window. At midnight, he fell from his window seat. All through the scripture, midnight is a very critical time. It was midnight when the death angel passed through Egypt and smote the firstborn. It was midnight when the cry was made that woke the sleeping virgins. It was midnight when Paul and Silas turned their corner and turned their pain into praise. Midnight is the halfway point. Midnight is where it can go either way. You either can push through and, oh, hey, it's going to be a good morning, I'm going to stay awake, or you begin to, I'm going to bed. It's midnight. Midnight speaks of a decision time. Midnight is a place and a time where you need to make a decision. Well, hey, what you going to do, buddy? It's midnight. Certainly this window seat could not be comfortable. At first, these thoughts of the things of the world are painful. We think, shame on me for thinking about the thing world and the things I used to do. But the more you allow yourself to think about it, the more you begin to get engrossed and comfortable it becomes, until suddenly it just seems that without any warning, you're falling, and you're falling into the lust, and you're falling into those old addictions and those old habits. And you're not trying to, but you've just set on the window seat too long, and the devil begins to take over your mind and your thoughts, and you're falling back into those old ways of talking and thinking, and you're falling back into those old desires and those old things that you had been delivered from, and you thought that they were dead in your life, but here they are again haunting your mind. Why? Because you sat by the window seat too long, and you're falling back into those flirtatious ways, falling back into those habits that you thought you had beat, you thought you had them whooped, and you were delivered from it. It all started from where you are sitting in the window seat. Somebody here today needs to change their seat spiritually. It's time to change gears. Jesus is coming. Did you hear me? Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. I will tell you, you get to the place in your life where the things around you are desolate and you're destitute and you don't know which way to turn. Jesus is coming. I listened to a man in Athens, Greece. They rented a hall, one of the big hotels. Thousands of people are there. He got up and said, Jesus is coming. And people got up from their seats, and some of them were sitting in windows because there wasn't seats. And they began to cry and travail, call on the name of God. The window seat. I wonder how close America is to being on the window seat. We're on the edge of making it or falling out. As a nation, as a people, we've got to get back to the things of God. We've got to get passionate about the Word of God and to preach Word of God. We've got to let our spirits be stirred up and moved by the presence of God. You're responsible for that. That's up to you. That's up to me. We make a decision of how we respond every service. I want when the preach word comes across this pulpit, I want to be filled. I want to be touched. I want to be changed. I want to be healed. I want my mind to be motivated and moved. And it is. Because you're in a Bible-based church, the Word of God, and I love it. I love it. And there's not a bad person here this morning. There's not a mean person here this morning. There's good folks in this here church. But don't sit by the window. Get rid of the old man, the old nature, the old things, the old ways, and get sold out to Jesus. This young man, whose name means fortunate, was indeed fortunate. In fact, he was doubly blessed. First, because he was in the house, and secondly, because after he fell out of the house, the preacher went down and raised him back from the dead. Don't wait. Don't wait. Get away from the edge. Get in and sell out wholeheartedly. Sell out wholeheartedly. If you see a piece of, pick it up. If you see somebody praying, go pray with them. If you see somebody that needs encouragement, help them up. Let's do this together. Together we are strong. Together we can make a difference. Brethren, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And we're together. Let's make a difference in our community. Let's stop sitting by the edge and the fringe and waiting to see, well, I wonder if they're going to get a blessing. Well, how about you get a blessing? How about you get a touch? How about you step out by faith and let God touch your body? How about you show up to the prayer room? Stop worrying about them and get you involved. Amen? Hallelujah. Stand to your feet this morning. We are very fortunate. We've got the goodness, and we know the goodness of the Lord. We've got the blessings of God. Thank you, Jesus. We have a loving God. You know, there's good news here this morning. Jesus still loves you. No matter where you've been, no matter where you're going, no matter what you've been through, Jesus loves you. But don't sit in the window. Get out of the window seat. Hallelujah. Come inside and let God touch you like never before. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Touch each and every one of us, Lord. Touch our minds. Lord, that maybe we've been dealing with stuff and sitting on the window and nobody around us knows about it. But God, I'm asking that you would pull us back from the window right now. I'm asking that you would protect each and every person here. Go before us, Lord. Go before us, God. Make a way for us where there seemeth no way in the name of Jesus. We give you praise. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Let's greet one another. We'll take a quick break, about 10 minutes, and we'll come back for worship service. In Jesus' name. Come expecting the miraculous.